through Ephesians. So if you weren't here last time, this isn't like a true part two, so you're not going to be lost, don't worry. But it kind of is a part two, because I'm still in the book of Ephesians, and our Connect group's been in, and I've just been enjoying being in that letter and what the Lord's been speaking to me in that. And so I just wanted to share, there is one phrase as he begins to land the plane toward the end of Ephesians that's grabbed me. And it's this one at the top of your sheet. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're coming to a climax as he gives us the statement. So before I go on, I do want to pray. God, I just know, because you shared it with me, and I just know what you're doing in our group. We can all see what you're doing in our church, God. You have a time for this message, and a reason and a purpose for us to get together tonight to dig into your word, God. So I pray that that full purpose would be realized, God, that your kingdom come, and indeed, God, let your will be done in our church, in our lives, God. And may we have ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you're speaking to us, that we would engage and walk in the level that you are calling us ever onward and ever upward to, God. Nothing short of that is what we want. We want everything you've got, and to fall nothing short of that, God, because that's what you have for this body, and I know it's coming. We can all sense it. So Holy Spirit, just let us be able to apply this word and be faithful to what you're teaching us. In your name I pray, amen. So I do have a funny story, and I'm telling you right now, this is true. This really, really happened. I'm not making this up, okay? But back in the day, I worked for Sutter Health, and one of my roles when I worked for Home Health and Hospice is I helped with programs and computers. I was their nerd, right? So anytime they had a problem, they came to me. Well, one day a social worker came in my office, and she had this, like, you know, sheepish look on her face. She's like, Angela, my computer doesn't work. I was like, oh, gosh, I'm sorry, what's it doing? And she goes, it's doing nothing. I mean, it's doing nothing. I was like, wow, okay. How long has it been doing nothing? 3 weeks. Whoa. I was like, well, I couldn't believe she waited 3 weeks to tell me. So I went to her office. I'm like, okay, yeah, happy to look at it. So I went to her office, and I pushed the power button. It started to boot up, and I looked at her face. Look of total embarrassment on her face. She was so embarrassed. She didn't know where the power button was. Apparently, she knew enough about her computer to operate it once it was on, but it had turned off, and she didn't know where that button was. Once it was on, she knew how to use it. So she was really, really super embarrassed, and I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's okay. Now you know where the button is. You know? But I could not. But she had waited. Bless her heart. She had waited till 3 weeks of work had piled up, and she was overwhelmed because for some reason she was just afraid to ask. And I guess, you know, just being shy about that. And I thought, and as I was reading and studying Ephesians, I'm like, you know what? Think what we might about that sweet lady, but sometimes we can be just like her. Things can pile up, get overwhelming, get frustrating, and we get afraid to ask. And God's like, I gave you a power button. I gave you what you need. And it's been sitting there the whole time. But a lot of times we forget to access what he's given us. So we get stressed out, we get frustrated, and we're missing it. We're missing it. It's at our fingertips. So he started out, we talked about last time how in the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, he says an amazing statement that God has blessed, present perfect tense, has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's given us what we need. And Peter states this way, his divine power has granted, again, we have it now, to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. So again, driving home the point, he's given it to his people. He's given us what we need. And I believe there is, and I know I keep saying this, and Pastor keeps saying this, there is more and it is coming. And there is a level of power that we read it, We can see it in the book of Acts. We can see what he's saying in Ephesians. But how often are we seeing people walking in what he describes as an immeasurable amount of power, of God's mighty power working inside of us? In the New Testament day and in even in other generations, we saw that in miracles. We saw that in signs and wonders, right? We saw that in discernment, in walking in the Spirit. And I just know that as God gets ready to come back, I know his church is going to return to walking in that level of power, right? He's going to say, there's another level to this power button, and you're going to find a church. And you're going to walk in it again, and it's going to fire up, and you're going to see everything I already gave you. So Paul does lay it out. There's an interesting progression of how he has the conversation about the power of God in the Ephesians. So we're going to talk about this progression real quickly. So I talked about last time, this is kind of a part two, but not really, but how God gave us every spiritual blessing and that we have to learn how to seek it out, right? That's what we talked about last time. So one of the treasures that we need to learn how to seek out is the power of God. And so he brings up the power of God a few times throughout the letter in interesting ways in a progression. Number one, first, he prays for them to understand what they've been given. We've got to first understand what it is. We've got to not only know where the power button is, but what is it going to do? What is it God has already given us? He starts out in chapter 1 saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that you may know, and he also inserts there, I want your eyes of your heart enlightened, that you would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. He's piling on adjectives again, trying to drive something home. Immeasurable greatness of his power toward you who believe. He wants them to understand, do you understand what God's put in you and what you have in the Holy Spirit? In a letter he writes to Timothy, one of the pastors he's mentoring, he says something interesting to Timothy, a reminder. He says in 2 Timothy, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, again, something we've already been given, which is in you, present tense, through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of what? Power and love and self-control. So Paul knew his tendency to forget, our tendency to forget. And sometimes our tendency to forget the gifts that God has given is the greatest in the areas where we're weak. If you see Paul's correspondence with Timothy, he's got this little bit of weakness with timidity and fear, right? So, and they were the same way. We struggle with insecurities, doubt, relationship, finances. We can forget the promises of God and what he's already given us in the Word of God because we can just tend to default back to that weakness, don't we? And forget, hey, there's more. So Paul's saying, hey, you've already been given the spirit of power, and I need you, Timothy, to remember to stir it up. We can be the same way. We can let our gifts and power lay dormant beneath us. But Paul is saying, no, no. In fact, to the Ephesians, he's saying he's given you immeasurable greatness of power. I was thinking, what does that mean? I'm like, can I try to wrap it? I'm a little analytical, a little nerdy. So speaking of which, I was watching a documentary, sorry. And it was about astronomy, of course. And it was about the sun, so I had to watch it. Interesting facts about our sun. Contains 99.8% of the mass of our entire solar system. In other words, all the nine other planets are 0.2% of the mass of the solar system. 1.3 million Earths can fit inside our sun. 1 second of power coming out of our sun is more than all the power that mankind has generated since the beginning of time combined in 1 second. Every second, it puts out 400 trillion watts of energy, equivalent to about a trillion megaton bombs going off every second. Here's the kicker. Our sun's a pretty small star compared to the rest of the stars in the universe. It's in the middle. There are some massive monster stars out there. I did some research. I did take a picture of a larger star. It was 5 times larger than the sun last week, and it's 1,700 times brighter. But I did some research, and I found some monster stars out there. The largest star that scientists have found, get this, I still have to keep rereading. I researched it over and over to make sure I was not lying to you, right? It is 1,700 times the radius of our sun. 1,700 times, inside this star, you could fit 5 billion of our suns in that one star. 5 billion. And yes, I checked 3 times. That is not anything compared to other powers in our universe. Dark holes eat these stars like pieces of bread and tear them apart. In fact, over 90% of our universe, scientists don't even know what it is. So there's something called dark matter or dark energy that holds, they're seeing more and more evidence that there is something, there's no vacuum out there in space. There's something they can see and they know it's there, and it's holding the entire universe together. And they call it dark energy because they don't know what else to call it, right? They can't see it and can't analyze it, but it's there. Even down to the atom, they know that there is a force holding all the particles of the atom together. They don't know what that is, right? But we know what's holding the entire universe together because God let the spoiler out. He said it in Hebrews. God said that he, Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine, puts the sun to shame. And he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. So Jesus' mighty word of power is literally upholding the universe. And scientists are like, we know it's there. There's an energy out there, but we can't figure out what it is. Isn't that cool? We know. And everything I've discussed as far as the black holes in the stars, that's physical. God is saying his supernatural, outside of the natural laws of physics, at power immeasurably. Now we're getting an understanding of what immeasurably means. That power is inside of us. That is the Holy Spirit. He's holding it all together, and he's inside of us. And yet sometimes we just really overlook what God's really given us. Or maybe we just don't even understand sometimes. I'm learning this for sure, and so I'm taking you with me. As I'm learning this, why not take a look at it together. So he said his divine power has granted us to us all things. That's in 2 Peter. And secondly, so the next progression in Ephesians, he says we must ask and seek to be strengthened in that power. So that's the next thing Paul lays out there. We must ask and seek to be strengthened in that power. So we were going to jump to chapter 3. Now he's going to bring it up again. And he's still praying. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So it's not enough to know that we've got it. He's showing them by example, you need to ask for it and you need to be strengthened with it. Knowing about it and being strengthened with that power, two different things. Right? It's easy for us to have head knowledge. It's not until we're actually, and this is, guys, I'm preaching to myself in this too, right? The Holy Spirit has just really been just downloading things into me. It's not until we're actually walking in the power of God that we are learning to operate in the kingdom of God. Okay? Not till we're walking in it are we operating in the kingdom of God. Why? Because he explained it to 1 Corinthians. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And when he was saying that to the Corinthians, he was talking about some people who were like talking smack and being arrogant. He says, okay, I'm going to show up and we're going to find out if you are talk or if you are walking in the power of the kingdom of God. We're going to see it because it's easy to talk it. Any of us can talk about the power of God and quote Ephesians. Walking it, another thing. So chapter 1, understanding that immeasurable power. Chapter 3, being strengthened in the power we've been given. Number 3, in chapter 6, now he's taking them to the next step of the progression, being strong in his power and to fight in it. Now it's time to fight. Now it's going to get real. He says, and he's coming to a climax. He's using this key word, finally. He's like, here, I'm coming to a climax on my main thrust of what I'm saying to you guys, Ephesians. I've been praying for you. I wanted you to understand it. I want you to become strong in it. I've talked to you for a couple of chapters about how to live in it. But now we're going to get real down to the tacks. And so he said, finally, guys, understand, Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. So this is no longer a prayer. First two were a prayer. Now he's like, I'm done praying. Now this is an order from your commanding officer. And it's time to fight. And I'm directing this to you now, no longer to God. You understand it. You're going to be strengthened by it. And now you're going to fight in it. So this is a mandate. Sometimes we look at some things in the Word of God and just kind of see it. We won't admit it that way or realize it. But sometimes we see it as a great suggestion and something to do one day. And Paul is kind of driving this home like, yeah, no, actually, this is not an option. Because you're in a war. And you're going to have to fight. And this is for all of us. It's critical, and it's right now. There are several reasons we're going to go over real quickly why we need God's power. A, we need his power, and he makes it very clear, to be his witnesses. Need his power to be his witnesses. Being empowered by the Spirit was so important to Jesus, he wouldn't let his disciples do anything. Could you imagine? You're training people one-on-one for 3.5 years. You're giving them hands-on experience. And then he says, don't do anything. Like, nope. They had direct training from Jesus for 3.5 years. But he understood that training is not enough. I want you to be empowered. He said it directly in Luke. I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you. That's who? The Holy Spirit, right? But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Even then, he's describing the Holy Spirit as this is going to be your power from on high. And again in Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses. Yeah. So guys, this is important. But studying the Bible isn't just enough. Going to church isn't just enough. Going to Connect Group, listening to the podcast and the sermons. This is exactly what we need to be doing, and that's why we're here. But it's not enough. We have got to learn to be operating, and this is what's stirring up in me, is we've got to be learning to marry what he's teaching us with the power of God. They have to go together. It's not an option. So I've been on a little bit of a medical journey last several years, and I've been told, because I have a genetic condition that affects my ligaments and joints, I've been told over and over by doctors and therapists, so most people choose to exercise, you choose not to exercise, or you choose to exercise for a variety of reasons, and you should be choosing to exercise at least some point. But for me, I've been told it's not an option. You have to exercise. I have to maintain a certain level of strength. Because, again, there's a genetic condition with my joints, right? So in order to keep functioning at a certain way, a way that, you know, I used to take for granted, we all do, I can't take it for granted. I've got to fight for it, and I've got to be strong, and it's not an option. And I was thinking about how they're pounding this into my head. I get it already. I'll do my exercises. But I was like, this is exactly what Paul's trying to drive home. This is not an option, and you've got to fight to get this strong. You've got to ask to get this strong. You've got to be strengthened up in his power. This is critical. This is not a maybe one day when I get a gym membership or I'm spiritually that strong. This is God saying, guys, this has to happen because this is life and death. This is a spiritual war we're in. And we can't take it for granted. Especially, he points out multiple times in this letter the days we're in. Earlier in the letter, he says, these days are evil. In case we were wondering, we should know that, right? And then the enemy is not playing. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And we'll get into that in a minute. Now, B, we need his power to understand and know the love of God. This is an interesting one to me. We need his power to understand and know the love of God. Why do we need his power? But it's clear. And I've read this and meditated on this, but it's very clear what he says in his prayer in Ephesians. Interesting, he ties the two together. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp. So you need to have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know it. And that Greek word is knowing it intimately, experiencing his love. So we need his power to grasp it. We need his power to experience it and to love it. that you may be filled with a measure of the fullness of God. We don't often think of it this way, but God's love and his power come together. Really, because that is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of love and power. And we heard it in his, Paul's instruction to Timothy. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. In fact, in another letter, Paul warns us that power without love makes us absolutely nothing. We're absolutely nothing without love if we're looking for power. He said to the Corinthians, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith, so I'm being Mr. Super Spiritual, and I can even remove mountains, but I have love, I'm nothing. They have to go together. So this lesson, I want to really emphasize, this is not about becoming super spiritual, I've got a cape, and I'm all about power hungry, right? this is about learning to be empowered to love. It reminds me of the Air Force PJs. Does anybody, I know somebody in here knows who the Air Force PJs are. I think PJs stands for paratroopers, right? Yeah. Okay, so in all the military branches, every branch has their version of special forces, special operators. Air Force has operators called PJs, and their mission is a lot like of other operators. They are highly trained in warfare. They know they're some of the best of the best. They know how to engage with the enemy. They often land, often parachuting, shooting right into dangerous enemy zones, hot zones, and they engage in battle with the enemy as needed. Pretty much all the special forces, that's what they do. PJs have kind of caught my interest, though, because they have an interesting nuance, an interesting difference, because fighting the enemy is not their primary mission. That's not the primary reason why they're trained, why they're sent out. Their primary mission is to rescue the wounded and the hurting. They are highly trained warriors, but engaging the enemy is not their number one focus. They are dropped into combat zones to find their brothers and sisters who are wounded and hurting, to rescue them. And because they're dropped into combat zones, they will have to engage the enemy. And so that will be a part of what they do, and they need to be highly skilled in it. We're like them. Our primary mission, Paul does not spend an entire letter talking about the demons and how awful they are and how we've got to find them, fight them, right? No, our primary mission is to look for the wounded and the hurting as a church, right? We are here to love. Our primary mission is spelled out, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's our primary mission. However, we are in a war zone. And like the PJs, we're in enemy territory, and he's going to engage. He sure doesn't want us to get the wounded and the hurting. He doesn't want us to be able to accomplish our mission. So we've got to be equipped, like these special operators, to engage the enemy, because what will happen if we don't? We'll be the next casualty, right? And we can't help the world that way. So that is how I see our mission, in power and in love. So letter C, we need his power to fight in spiritual warfare. We need his power to fight in spiritual warfare. And that leads us to the next main point, the battle for power. Ephesians is really, there's so much in it. It's been called, I saw some commentators say that it's one of the letters Paul wrote that they really consider to be one of his masterpieces. I mean, he lays out some beautiful perspectives, and it's so rich. One of the interesting perspectives that started to grab my attention was Paul peels back. It's like he takes the natural, he peels it back, and he goes, I want to remind us of there's a whole lot more going on around us than what we see physically and what we see right now. So from the beginning of the letter to the end, he continuously brings up and references supernatural forces, eternity past, today's age, and eternity future. And he kind of pulls up the supernatural drama that we are part of and that it keeps happening around us. So sometimes we get wrapped up. I do it. Get wrapped up in our everyday lives, our laundry, our chores, our schoolwork, our going to work, getting through life, taking care of the family. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that if we peel back the layers, there's a supernatural drama going on all around us all the time. In fact, it's been going since the eternity past. And it's going to continue into eternity future. And there is eternity at stake at what happens day in and day out, beyond our laundry and our dishes and our workday, right? And so he kind of gives us some hints and some clues in this. In Ephesians 2, he says, God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So he's speaking to our position in the heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages, he might show to who? He might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He throws out some more hints here in Ephesians 3. He's discussing God's calling on his life and also the administration of this mystery, which is the gospel, which for ages past, now he's discussing eternity past, was kept hidden in God. So God's plan, his sovereign purpose for what was happening and what is happening in this world has been hidden in God for eternity past. And even the heavenly realms, the principalities, those in heaven didn't see it. They didn't know what God had hidden in him and planned. Now, his intent was that now, right now, through us, the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to who? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So he's showing this off in the supernatural realm, right now through the church, according to his eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he had this mystery hidden in himself, and we get to be a part of that drama here and now as the church, as he's revealing his plans that he has sovereignly had within him since eternity past, and he's going to show it off to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places for all of eternity in the future. Bigger picture than what we often think about, right? Going on and what's going on around us. And I'm laying that down because there's a reason he's building us up now to this discussion in chapter 6. He's already been discussing the heavenly realms, the rulers and the authorities, what's been going on since eternity past and what's been happening now, and that the days are evil. So we are coming up to a climax in this letter. And this is his power punch in chapter 6. Okay, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I want to stop right there. Strong, strength, and might are three different Greek words. And they're all slightly different words for strength and power, but it's like Paul is piling on the words, emphasizing and driving home. You've got to be powerful. You've got to be strong. You've got to be mighty, and it's only in him. He's piling. It's almost like you could say, be powerful in the Lord and in the power of his power. Okay? He's just piling those words on. If you didn't get it, be powerful in his power. Why? Okay, so put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What is he saying? If you're not powerful in God and you're not putting on his full armor, you're not going to be able to. Mandate. This is critical. This is an order. Why? Well, he explains why. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. He's already been discussing these guys. Against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, so in light of what you're facing, guys, these cosmic powers and these evil forces, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He's repeating himself on purpose that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Right? Are you grabbing the power of what he's saying? There are forces and there is a spiritual realm, and this battle is very real and it's very eternal and it very much matters and it's very much now. And if you want to stand in this evil day, here's our marching orders. We've got to be strong in his might, but we don't have to be afraid, because what? That immeasurable great power is inside of us. We've just got to get that power button on, right? And we can't fight an enemy we're not paying attention to, that we're not recognizing, that we're not seeing is attacking. That's why we've got to ask God for discernment. Those are one of the gifts that he can give us in the spirit, right? We must ask him to help us to identify when the enemy is involved. So please let me help you understand. I'm not one of those type that thinks the devil does everything. All right? So, you know, life is life. Things happen. Definitely, I'm not calling out the devil all day because, you know, I dropped my plate. Okay, I'm a klutz. It happens. But I think, I don't know, if I can speak from my life. Sometimes more often than not, I'm not paying enough attention to when it is possibly the enemy and what I need to be doing in the spirit and fighting and being strong in the Lord. So this is what the Lord's been teaching me. So he's continuing. I'm not going to go through all of this section of Ephesians 6. He goes through the armor of God, right? He's still in this discussion of warfare. This is what I'm going to hit right now. It's not a separate thought. This is, in fact, a continued sentence. This is in the same sentence of his discussion with the armor in 6:18. He continues saying, in the middle of a sentence, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, what end? Praying at all times in the spirit. Right? Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, I don't know if you recall, this was a few months ago, but I did a lesson about that word alert. This is that same Greek word that Jesus used when he warned the disciples in the garden, being on high alert about the enemy. This is that kind of being aware of a potential danger being around. And it's the same word that Peter used in his letter when he said, be alert because the devil roams as a roaring lion, right? That kind of alertness. Paul's using the same Greek word, keeping alert. And I put in the definition here, to keep zealous watch, very passionate alert watch, to make an effort to learn what might be a potential threat. Okay? Be aware of what may be in a potential threat, church. So I know I'm talking to the choir here, and I know that there are people in here who know exactly what I'm talking about and who live this as well. But this is what the Lord has been doing is lately sometimes, and I'm not saying I have a corner on the Holy Spirit or I've mastered this or anything, but there are times where normal life is happening and I felt the Holy Spirit say, it's time to stop and pray, right? I know some of you have done the same thing where the Lord has said, it's time to stop, it's time to pray, something's going on. And you know that as you start praying, oh yeah, there is something going on. And you pray until there's breakthrough and you realize there's been a battle, right? And a lot of times it's in your spirit or God will drop something or someone in you and you engage. And all of a sudden, life goes from being about laundry to, boy, there's something going on, right? And that's that alertness and the walking in the power of the Holy Spirit where God can show you, hey, it's time to do battle. There's something going on. I was, this is just one example. This is a while ago. I went to the island of Trinidad. Anybody know where that is? It's on the southernmost area of the Caribbean, the West Indies. I went there. It is actually the birthplace, I didn't know this, of reggae music and a lot of voodoo witchcraft. In fact, reggae music was born in voodoo witchcraft. And they have integration of also the worship of some other gods. We'll call them gods, but really demon idols. And so I actually, and this worship is blended together. I'd be going through the island and I see these different colored flags in people's yards. And I asked one of the guides, Why are these people flying these different colored flags in their yards? And so that represents which gods they worship of this pantheon of gods. I would go to the river and I saw the remaining sacrifices at the river that they would do to this voodoo and these demon gods. Well, as soon as I came home, I spent about a week and a half there doing a missions trip. And I'm not the really dream or nightmare kind, but every single night, a being showed up in a nightmare. He had no face. But I was immediately terrified, and he would try to kill me. And he would terrify me to the point of waking me up. And each night, it was a different way he tried to kill me, but he was there every single night, waking me up in the middle of my sleep. And if you remember, I don't wake up easily. But he would, it would just get to the point where I'm almost dead, and I'd wake up terrified. So after three nights of this, I kind of figured it out. And I got anointing oil, and I had a roommate, and together we prayed, and we were like 20-something, right? We prayed in the name of Jesus. I put oil on my doorframe, and I said, get out. I went back to bed, and it never came back. Right? That's what you do. You recognize there's a pattern. And it doesn't matter who we are, how old we are, we're filled with that authority in the name of Jesus, and we don't have to put up with it. Right? The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's gone. I went back to sleep. That's the way it works, right? In places around the world like Trinidad, sometimes demonic activity can be something that we see. I saw evidence of the demonic worship and the stuff going on, right? Or that there are places where there are witch doctors or just different demonic manifestations. Not to say that that doesn't happen in America. It does. It even happens in this area, right? However, sometimes the primary attacks of the enemy around here are not quite like that. And we need to be discerning of how the enemy is operating here. I believe one of the major battles we face in America is actually more ideological strongholds in thinking and culture. The enemy has strongholds. The enemy saturates us everywhere with arguments and human opinion. I discussed this. One of the reasons why Paul wrote the Ephesians letter was there was a heresy arising where people were focusing and their philosophies were popular. And so this latest philosophy really exalted human opinion and human reasoning and arguments, right? Human opinion was even infiltrating the church. And so Paul was addressing this. And it's a lot like what we see today. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, well, we walk in the flesh. We are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And he goes into what they are. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So I talked about this heresy in the Ephesians church. And today, worship of human opinion is a stronghold in American culture and thinking. We love our opinions. Remember when news was just reporting the facts? Now they can take one story and go for hours on it, right? With this opinion and that expert and this debate and this expert, and he's going to put his voice in, and we're going to talk about this for an... It used to be they just reported the facts, right? Social media is based on human opinion. It's everywhere we go, people are putting their voice and their opinions on it. And we're saturated by that. And I think we need to be careful. And I'm trying to be careful of that and recognize when human opinion is being constantly exalted and we're forgetting what God has to say about this. Right? And not letting it be something that I don't like to have the last thing I read or absorb at the end of the day, something on the internet or whatever. I'm trying to get the word of God has the last say before I go to bed. Right? Because I don't want human reasoning or human opinion to be saturating my head. Okay? That is what is to take hold of up here. And boy, if you didn't hear pastor's messages on Sunday morning and Sunday evening on these topics, you need to get the CD. Or they're also online in the mobile app. But he did a powerful message on this. Part of this, I was going, well, pastor, you're preaching my lesson. But it was so good. Usually the enemy in America will attack your thoughts, and you need to recognize patterns, especially when they contradict the word of God. The enemy does not want his plans exposed. Can I be honest with you, church family? We can be real in here, right? The whole time I've been preparing this lesson, over and over in my head, all I kept hearing was, you shouldn't do this. This is not for you. This is over your head. This is not for you to deliver. You need to let somebody else do it. You're going to fail. This is dumb. You need to go do some different lesson. Over and over every day, I had these thoughts saying, don't do this message, all the way up until today. But I felt, when I was praying about it, I kept failing, but the Holy Spirit saying, nope, you need to do it. Nope, you need to do it. I'll be with you. Sometimes the enemy does not want his plans exposed. And so he will wear us down sometimes. So that's why that mandate to take every thought captive is so critical. Because he will not give up unless we do what? Submit to God, resist the devil. And I had to make a decision. I'm doing this lesson anyway. Right? We have to decide, okay, what the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to do it. So let's move on and let's do this. 2 Corinthians, Paul points out, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. He's forgiving somebody. Why? In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We need to recognize his schemes and his attacks towards us. So let's move on to the source of power. So we remember that God has already given it to us. We have it. So let's discuss our source. In Ephesians, in fact, he caps off his prayer saying, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all I ask. He asked quite a lot. And now he's saying, and by the way, God can do a far more than what I can ask according to what? The power at work within us. If you're facing an enemy that is intimidating you like sometimes he does with me, we need to remember that not only are we like the Air Force PJs where we have a mission to love and to engage the enemy, we have God's mighty warrior inside of us. We have a Navy SEAL inside of us, and we don't need to be afraid of this. So if he's trying to wear you down and say, you shouldn't do this, take you down, fill you with doubt, fill you with fear, fill you with whatever, we need to remember, I've got God's Navy SEAL inside of me, and he's the Holy Spirit. He's holding this universe in his hands, so we're not going to do this. We're not doing this right now. And I know God is calling us to stand and be an army in Yuba City. Because there are strongholds in this area that need to come down. Right? There are strongholds that are holding people. There are some people that I've been trying to speak to, and I hear what they believe and what they've been told all their lives reverberating out of their mouths, and they can't see anything else. It's a stronghold. And those strongholds need to come down. Right? Can I be honest with you? On the weekend of the Sikh parade, I really sensed that there was something going on. Right? I think there was a spiritual battle going on in this area. And we need to recognize and just say, Lord, we've got to continue to proclaim God's name, and he alone is Lord, and he alone is God, and come against these strongholds so that these precious people that are deceived can be set free. Right? So we can go and reach the wounded and the hurting. And share with them, no, there aren't many gods. There is one God. And he's here to set you free. So let's move on to the key to accessing God's power. Paul let the secret out. It's prayer. Prayer is our power button. Now, I want to make it real clear. I don't want to come across that I'm trying to say the Holy Spirit is like a genie in a lamp or power button that we can just go in and start pushing buttons or saying, do this, and he's going to do this. Oh, no. We reverence the Holy Spirit, right? He is God, right? He's the one in charge, actually, and he's the one giving the orders. In case we want to forget and not get that flipped around, right? So when I say the key to accessing the power, I'm not trying to say we're accessing the Holy Spirit like a power button we're going to push when we want him, but I am saying that the Holy Spirit has given us a secret to walking with him and to accessing everything he's given us, and it is prayer. And that is how we're going to engage with him on that. What did Paul do when he wanted them to figure it out and to be strengthened? He prayed for them. I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power. And we need to pray that for ourselves. God, I'm asking you. You said you gave it to me. Help me to understand it and give me that power. Help me to walk with you in that anointing, in that strength, so that I can get up and do my job, and not just do my job, but do exceedingly abundantly above what I'm even asking you, God. Because you know what's in store today, not me. Right? So we've all heard the phrase, if you haven't heard it, prayerlessness is powerlessness, and it's true. And Paul is coming into a climax as he concludes this discussion on spiritual warfare. He concludes with discussing continual, fervent, persistent, specific prayer in his capstone of this discussion of spiritual warfare. So I put it here in Amplified on purpose because it pulls out kind of the passion of what he's trying to say. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of the saints. So he's discussing a passionate, persistent, consistent, specific, continuous prayer life. He's driving home lifestyle, the lifestyle of prayer. Our prayer life has got to be our life, right? It should define our lives, and we grow in that. That's why we've got to ask for his strength in that. Not only is prayer our source of power, but praying in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is the most powerful type of praying. A.W. Tozer put it this way. He's one of my favorite authors. The Apostle Paul said it is impossible to pray without the Spirit, and the most powerful prayers are those done in the Spirit. Earlier in this same Ephesians letter, Paul directs them, be filled with the Spirit. In other letters, he discusses how often he prays in his prayer language, right? He does that very frequently. A few years ago, we had a guest missionary, and I just really enjoyed his message, so I got his devotional. And he discusses that his life verse is, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So every morning when he gets up, first thing he does is he prays in the Spirit for 30 minutes. Because he's determined that the rest of his day is going to be led by the Spirit. Now, I'm not there yet. But I am doing my best to pray in my prayer language every day, whether it's getting ready or being in the car. Why? Because I need to be in tune with the Spirit, right? We've got to learn to be in tune to what the Spirit is doing. He is our mighty warrior inside of us, empowering us, praying through us. So if we want to flow in the power of God, we have to learn to be led in the Spirit of God. He is the power of God. And another key to this, I didn't put on your worksheet, but really, a lifestyle of prayer is a lifestyle of humility and dependence and faith. That's what prayer is. It's being humble, it's being dependent, and it's believing Him. God, you said it. I don't totally understand all this power that you've said, but you've said it, and so I believe it. And I need you today. I need you today. So when the enemy was trying to say, you know, mess with my head, whatever, about doing this lesson, I was like, well, Holy Spirit, you told me to do it. So now I'm kind of putting it back on you, and you're going to help me. And he does, right? That's dependence. That's walking in humility. I can't do it. I already know I can't do it in myself. None of us can. Not a single one of us. I truly engage in the spiritual warfare without him. So it's that humility he's attracted to, and when he sees that in us, boy, does he empower us when we believe him. But pride is the first thing that's going to stop our prayers, isn't it? It's the first thing that's going to cut him right off. Okay, all right, think you got this? You'll find out, right? So we don't have time to do an in-depth study, and I don't intend to. But I did a little bit on the results of power. And so this is really just a take-home part of your sheet. Real briefly, I can hit the points. But if you're into further study, this is obviously not exhaustive. There's more to this than that. But it is a good at-a-glance study. I think that's worth having. And I've been doing some further study in. Obviously, I mentioned the results of having the power of God. It empowers our testimony. It's interesting, the testimony in Acts about the apostles, and with great power, the apostles were what? Giving their testimony. The resurrection. So that whole thing about being a powerful witness, that's true. We will see signs, wonders, and miracles as we reach the world. Stephen, who was Stephen? He was a layman. So we don't have to think that this is about pastors and evangelists and missionaries. He was a layman, and he went into another town full of grace and power and was doing great wonders and signs. I believe wonders and signs and miracles are coming back to the church, and I'm not talking about just the pastors. God's people are going to walk in this. I believe it. God's power points people to God, not to ourselves. And it was with you, and this is Paul talking again, in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom. He's saying, I didn't sound smart, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I didn't come to show off my education, he said. I came to show you the power of God, so you would look to him, not me. And we have this treasure. What is it? The power of God in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. So our weakness gets to be showed off. His power gets to be showed off. It brings conviction to the lost. Power, God's power does. Ending that verse with, but also empowered in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. There was a day when men of God used to walk into towns and great conviction would come up and bars would close down and people would start weeping and feel conviction and repentance. And they wouldn't even know why. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was there, right? The power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that's coming back. It makes us live a life worthy of our calling. God's power helps us to walk in that level of holiness. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And I'll just move on to the last one. We serve Jesus with his supernatural energy and strength. We need that energy. One of our sisters mentioned that earlier, right? Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he powerfully works within me. Hallelujah. I could use that too, right? We could all use it. Isn't it exciting what God has coming for our church? What he's doing in each of us. So before we wrap up, are there any questions?